Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 15. Pocham Chasisham Chanripo Kuruva. Pocham Chasisham Chanripo Kuruva. Maloka kamo madanukrahataha. Maloka kamo madanukrahataha. Ittam vimanyo anushishyat atatnyan. Ittam vimanyo anushishyat atatnyan. Nayo jayet karma su karma mudham. Nayo jayet karma su karma mudham. Kamyo jayan manujortam labheta. Kamyo jayan manujortam labheta. Nipratayam nastadrisham higarte. Nipratayam nastadrisham higarte. Putram stasisyam stanipo gururva. Mallu kakamu madanu krahata. Ittam vimanyo anushishyat atatsnyan. Nayo jayet karma sukarma mudhan. Kamyo jayan manujotan labheta. Nipatayan nastadrisham higaite. Putam stasisham stanipo gururva. Maloka kama manonukrahata. Tamba manyo anusishada tatsjan. Ayujayit karma sukarma mudan. Kamyo jayan manujotam labheta. Nipatayam nastadrisham higate. Vamstasisham chanipo gururva. Anukakamo madanukrahataha. Itam vimanyo anusishyat atatsyam. Vayo jadit karma sukarma mudham. Kamyo jayan manujo artam lapeta. Ipatayan nastadrisham higate. Bhutam. The sons, Cha and Shishyan, the disciples, Cha and Nipa, the king, Guru, the spiritual master.
Va
or Madloka Garmaha, desiring to go to my abode. Mad Anugraha Hartaha, thinking that to achieve my mercy is the aim of life. In this manner, vimanyu, free from anger, anushishyat, should instruct, atatnyam, bereft of spiritual knowledge, na, not, Yojayat, should engage karmasu, in fruitive activities. Karma mudhan, simply engaged in pious or impious activities. Kam, what? Yojayam, engaging. Manujaha, a man, item, benefit, lathita, can achieve, nipatayan, causing to fall, nastadrisham, one who is already bereft of his transcendental sight. He, indeed, gaite, in the whole, translation, if one is serious about going back home, back to Godhead, he must consider the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum and chief aim of life. If he is a father instructing his sons, a spiritual master instructing his disciples, or a king instructing his citizens, he must instruct them as I have advised. Without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son or citizen, is sometimes unable to follow his order. Ignorant people who engage in pious and impious activities should be engaged in devotional service by all means. They should always avoid fruitive activity. If one puts into the bondage of karmic activity his disciple, son or citizen who is bereft of transcendental vision, how will one profit? It is like leading a blind man to a dark well and causing him to fall in. Short purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:26, Nabuddhi Bedam Janayet Adnyanam Karma Sanginam Joshayet Sarva Karmani Vidvan Yukta Samacharan. Let not the wise disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to fruitive action. They should be encouraged not to refrain from work, but to work in the spirit of devotion. So nice instruction by Maharaj Rishabhadev for those who are preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement. Our most important duty is to give people that which they cannot get anywhere else. There are so many centers of spiritual cultivation, so-called, so many temples. Especially here in India, there's a temple in every street. And people go there because it is the Punya Bhumi, it is the culture. You come to the temple, you take darshan, you give some donation, you take prasadam. But where is the spiritual knowledge in all of these temples? Where will you get the information that life is not meant for sense enjoyment, that we will never be happy in this material world by any material endeavor, even though it is frankly stated, Krishna says it very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Pumanal Loka Puna Avatino Arjuna Bhamu Pechatu Gandhya Puna Janma Ravijata, that you cannot be happy. Doesn't matter. You may go up to Brahman. This place is not a place where you can have happiness, fulfillment. Only by Mahamu Pecha, going back to me, to Krishna. Then you will not have to take birth again. Where do you get the way? Where do you hear these things? Nowhere. Only when you come to the ISKCON temple. Isn't it? It's so plain. We hear it all the time here, so we take it for granted. But will you hear it anywhere else? No. This plain truth is not spoken. So therefore, even though we may feel we've heard it again and again and again and again, and we think, we don't have to, little variation, something new, what is the latest spiritual news? No, we should continue to speak these things for the benefit of the people, because where will they hear it if we don't say it? Srila Prabhupada also, if you hear his lectures, which I'm sure you do, because everyone in this society we should be hearing regularly, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and you will see that Prabhupada, he could speak about highly elevated topics, and he did also at times, but he never felt himself too good to say, make these basic points again and again. How we are not this body, how we should surrender to Krishna, we should find the real happiness in life by learning how to love and serve the Supreme Lord. He never forgot to say it. Any opportunity, any time he opened his mouth, practically, he would make those points. So, and the fact is that if we are living this philosophy, if we ourselves are inspired, if we are endeavoring to also come to that platform, no matter if we, even if we fail, if we stumble and fall so many times, but we don't give up, we try, we, whenever we make a mistake, whenever we fall down, we get up again, stand up, just like a child. Children learning to walk, it's another example. In the beginning, they will stumble, they will fall, they will cry. That is, we don't say when a small child falls and hurts himself and starts crying, we say, this walking is no good, it's too dangerous. Don't try, just stay down on the floor. We don't say no, it is to be expected. One will stumble, one will, there will be some pain there, but we have to learn to walk. Never become discouraged. Similarly, in spiritual life, as beginners, we will fall down. That is not surprising, it's what you have to expect. But we just have to get up again and continue our practice. There's no question of, there's no consideration of defeat or frustration or disappointment. We simply have to go on. And if we are on that path, then we will feel enlightened, and we will feel also we can speak with enthusiasm and actually inspire others to also take up that path. Here is Maynard's instruction. Rishabhadev says that without being angry, he should continue giving instructions, even if his disciple, son, or citizen is sometimes unable to follow his order. It's an important point, because that is also to be expected. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that even if somebody is unable to follow, but if he accepts the principle of surrender to Krishna, then eventually he will also take up the activity of devotional service. Sometimes the tendency is that if we give an instruction, then we want to see that it is followed also. And if it is not followed, then, we think, what's wrong? Why you heard what I said? Why are you not doing? But we should not become angry. We should, as it is said, continue giving instructions, even if they are not followed. Because one day they will be followed. Sometimes you have to say things. How many times your mother and father had to tell you, how to do, how to, for instance, you make a mess and you don't clean up after yourself. Classical thing. Children always do. It goes into a room, they make a mess, and they leave it for the parents to clean up. And the parents, obviously, they don't like it. They try to teach the children, don't go and make a mess and leave it for me. I'm not your servant. And the children, they continue to do parents, but sometimes they get impatient. How many times I have to tell you? How many times have I told you not to do this? But the children, they are slow to learn. But one day, if the parents simply continue pushing, give up or become. Yes, sometimes one has to make a show of anger. That is also part of the process of teaching, that, to teach, proper respect, or to put some pressure on the student. You may also become angry, but not internally. The point is that even we may make a show of anger for the sake of instruction, but internally we should remain peaceful. We should think 10 times before we even make a show of anger. Is this really, quite, we can be quite sure that if I'm becoming angry, then I should control it. If I feel the anger is coming up and I feel the urge to express it, then don't express it. When we actually do make, as I say, a show of anger, it should be when we are not angry. It should be out of, a cool-headed deliberation, seeing that he's not getting the point. He's being disrespectful. I have to wake him up. I have to wake up, my disciple or my son. Sometimes you have to. You have to be coming. And if you do it like that, if you display anger under full control, it is very powerful. It is actually, it can have a positive effect. Just like Srila Prabhupada, we always like to give him as an example. He was, perfect. One famous instance when he became very angry. Those who were around Srila Prabhupada, they know he could become angry like a lion. And one time he became angry like that, like a lion. It was in Amsterdam. At that time they were going to install Jagannath. But I think it was in 72 or something like that. And, Amsterdam is already the hippie capital of Europe. And devotees, it was in the early days of our movement, devotees, they were quite spaced out. And, they were supposed to have installation, but nothing was arranged. There were no flowers, there were no decoration of the Yajnashala, or nothing. And Prabhupada, he got so angry. And there was a TV reporter there. They were filming the whole thing for the national TV, but Prabhupada didn't care. Even on TV, he was so angry. And he was sitting there on the Vyasa-san and shouting, and he said, "Where is Pushpa?" and the word is, "Where is fruit? Where is..." Nothing was there. So devotees, they thought, "Oh, Pushpa, he means Pushpana." you know, the famous rice dish, pushpanna, a very opulent rice dish. So they knew about that. So they heard the word pushpanna. Oh, pushpanna, we should have made pushpanna. Somebody went into the kitchen to make pushpanna. Where is fruit? So they thought, oh, we have to make a fruit salad. You know, he meant, you know, like old fruits to decorate the sacrificial arena. So somebody went into the kitchen to make a fruit salad. Came out with a bowl of fruit salad. Cut off, you know. Like that. And Prabhupada was just getting more and more angry. And for a long time he was sitting there. And then finally there was in the assembly. There was one hippie. Dirty hippie, you know. He'd been coming to the temple for some time. And, you know, in the mode of ignorance. And also, he would, devotees, they would correct him, and he would get angry. And the devotees, they would, he'd been hearing repeatedly devotees say, don't get angry, just chant Hare Krishna. So that somehow that instruction stuck. So at one point he said to Prabhupada, why are you so angry? Just chant Hare Krishna. And the most amazing thing is that Prabhupada, he looked at him like that. He became quiet and he just looked at him and he said, that is the best instruction I got today. And then he took his japa mala and chanted Hare Krishna. He followed the instruction by some hippie. This is, you know, this shows that he was in full control of his anger. Yeah. He could, like, also another instance. I heard from preacher from Germany, some of you may know, and they had this big building in Germany, Schloss Reitershof. But at one point they felt it was too much of a trouble to maintain that place. So they approached Prabhupada. They wanted to not sell it because they rented, it was a rented place, but they wanted to give it up. So they came to Prabhupada. They explained the situation, oh, there's this problem, that problem, and it's too difficult, and it's no use, it's an over-endeavor, on and on, like that. And don't you, wouldn't it be, I think we should not keep that place. And Prabhupada was just sitting and listening to that, you know. And at the end he said, is there anything more you want to say? Any other points? Any other complaints? And they said, no. I think that's it. And then Prabhupada said, and just because you have a child that is deaf and blind, does it mean you're gonna kill it? It was like, so powerful, his shouting, angry. And then again, he said, he calmed down immediately. He said, don't kill it, develop it. So like that, his anger, he could switch it on and off, just like you switch on and off the electricity. Fully in control. So, anyway, in general, these are actually exceptions. Generally, even we should be very careful even about displaying anger at all. To preach, to instruct subordinates, one has to be an ocean of tolerance and compassion. One has to actually become unselfish. One has to see him, one has to actually see himself as a servant of those whom he is instructing. Like Srila Prabhupada also said, I'm shedding gallons of blood for each disciple I'm making. That should be our mood. To give our life for the conditioned souls. Not sparing any pain to try to help them to become Krishna conscious. That is actual love. We should have some, as Prabhupada also said, we should have some feeling for suffering humanity. Unless we have some feeling for the conditioned souls, how we can actually preach to them? Sometimes the preacher is on an ego trip. I know so much. I'm such a advanced devotee. I'm gonna quote many verses. I'm gonna explain everything so that they will become impressed. That's not gonna help anyone. They will just think, oh, look at this guy. Yes, he may have learned something, but he hasn't learned. He hasn't become gentle. If we don't become gentle, then all our book knowledge is actually worth nothing. Just like Ramaharshana Sutta. He knew so much. That's why he was put on the seat in Naimisharanya to speak the Puranas, but he had not become gentle. And that was seen when Balaram entered the assembly. And even though he should have shown proper respect, even though Balaram, okay, he was born in a Kshatriya family, but Ramaharshana Sutta, he was born in a Sutta family, in a mixed family. So even from that point of view, he shouldn't have been so proud, but he thought, I'm sitting on the Vyasas. I don't need to get up to show respect to a Kshatriya. Even though everybody else got up, but he thought, no, I'm the guru here. I'm the spiritual master. So, because of that, Lord Balaram displaying the mood of, now I have to be careful about my pronunciation, Dhirodatta. There's five different personality traits that Krishna displays at times. Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prashanta, Dhirodatta, and Dhirodatta. Something like that. The two last ones very similar, difficult to, how to say, separate. Dhirodatta and Dhirodatta. I'm probably not completely correct in pronouncing. But Dhirodatta is the haughty hero. Very intolerant of insults, very proud, like that. So sometimes Krishna also displays that side, that heroic, personality. So he, especially I think we can say that Balaram, he does that. So also he did in this case, and he killed Ramaharshana Sutta with a blade of kusha grass. In this way, just by being engaged in this preaching mission, by force, you can say, we have to develop the quality of Vaishnavas. Full of compassion for the conditioned souls, full of very tolerant, very humble. So long. So, Anyway, I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? I hope you could hear me, despite my failing voice. Was it okay? You could hear something? Is there a microphone for the...
For purification, we have got two process, chanting on japa bead and chanting in group, sankirtan. Out of these two, which one gives more purification?
That is what is called in logic a false dilemma. It's not one or the other, it's both. They go, usually we use the example, Prabhupada used the example of a train that runs on two tracks, as you know how our process is based on Pancharatrika Vidhi, Bhagavad Vidhi, but it could also be used to illustrate the relationship between kirtan and japa. I see it like that, that they are complementary. Both of them are needed. There was once a discussion, I think, between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, about this point. And actually they concluded that kirtan is most important. Why? I didn't hear any arguments for why they came to that conclusion. But we can understand that one thing is that there was pressure from certain brahmanas or Vaishnavas who said that the Maha Mantra is only for private chanting, it's not for kirtan. We shouldn't chant in kirtan. There was some who wanted to make that point. So therefore the discussion came up. And their conclusion is that not only is kirtan allowed, but it's the most important. Why? Well, if we think about it, we can understand that kirtan is for everyone. Kirtan is for the whole world. If there's a nice kirtan, who will not join? Everyone, even, you know, only the hardcore demons, they will block their ears. But everybody else, even the the gross sense enjoys, with no interest in spiritual life, no idea that they're going to take up a process of sadhana or anything. They will like it. They will, they will smile, they will dance, just like we saw yesterday, you and Harinam, on the beach. When there's nice Harinam, everybody is enthused. So kirtan is really for the masses. It's the way that Lord Chaitanya extends his mercy to all the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Therefore, so important. Once that is said, it is also a fact that for the sadhaka, the most important, Prabhupada also says, somewhere in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most important instruction of the spiritual master is for the disciple to chant 16 rounds. That is the minimum for a sadhaka. He must complete his daily prescribed rounds. And so there's no such stern order from the spiritual master. You must have kirtan half an hour every day or 1 hour. But there is the stern order, you must chant these 16 rounds. So from that point of view, you could say that the japa is most. But my conclusion is that both of them are equally, they complement each other.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So? Oh, yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One should preach Krishna consciousness to others without becoming angry. I mean, even if they do not follow. Yeah. What about the non-believers in Krishna? Should we leave them alone or should we persuade them to chant Hare Krishna and make them Krishna conscious?
Again, this is a proposed question of this gentleman. When there is a kirtan, then we invite everyone to take part. But even we don't ask them, are you a believer or, you know, are you following the four regulatory principles? Otherwise, we don't want you in this kirtan. No, everyone is invited. So,
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. I understand that preaching Krishna conscious to those who have no faith in Krishna is one of the offenses.
Yes.
So, how do we go about it?
I understand that this is in the person to person interaction. You don't go to somebody who has no interest in spiritual life and start preaching to them that, you know, Krishna is God and you should surrender to Him, and because upadeshu himokanam pakupaya nushantaya, he will just become angry and he will make offenses. So it will not be good. If somebody is not ready to hear, we shouldn't speak. The only qualification for somebody to receive instructions is that they want to hear. It's not like, that's the point also in the verse of today, that the qualification for, you know, somebody to receive instructions is not that they are going to follow. It's that they are willing to hear. As long as they want to hear, therefore, we hold Bhagavatam class. And everybody it's optional. Everybody is free to come, but if you don't want to come, if you don't want to hear what I'm saying, you can stay away. So we take it. But when there is a class, everybody who comes, they want to hear. So that is the qualification. We don't go to somebody who, you know, what are you coming? Telling me, I don't want to hear what you are going to say. No, no, now you have to hear. You are the servant of Krishna, come on. You grab him and shake. No. You leave him alone. If you don't want to hear, you don't bother them.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can I just speak for a minute?
I'm not the one setting the time. Whoever is in charge of the temple program will tell us when to stop.
Sir, without Krishna's existence in anybody, nobody can survive. So there is not necessary to say anybody that you say Hare Krishna or make them Krishna.
You have to hold the microphone closer.
Yeah. So Krishna is existing with everybody. So there is no need of telling anybody to follow Krishna consciousness or say Hare Krishna. It should come from its original. It is in everybody's heart. Without that, there is no existence of any human being on this earth. Because He is the Supreme Personality and He is with everybody.
That is true. But at the same time, we do need also, generally speaking, we are not on the platform where we can hear the super soul in our hearts. He's always there giving good instructions. But we don't hear. Sarvasya chaham rijesami vishto matasmitya jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is always giving instructions, but are we willing to hear them? Or which instructions are we hearing? That is the question. So, because we have a tendency to mistake the instructions of our own mind from the instructions of the Supersoul, because it's not only, Krishna is not the only one who's speaking to us from within. There's, the mind is there too, who is actually our greatest enemy, as long as the mind is uncontrolled. Therefore we need to hear from the external representation of the Supersoul. Who is that? Spiritual Master. So we do need that too. But again, if we are not ready to hear from the Spiritual Master, then it is not the business of the Spiritual Master to, you know, try to stuff the instruction down our throat. Okay? Anything else? Hare Krishna.